At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
And we are live. It's your favorite time of the week, SB and Sean. Picks of the week.
SB and Sean, NFL picks of the week.
SB and Sean, NFL picks of the week. Right now, through 4 weeks, the score is 2-2, Sean. But first off, how you doing today, brother?
Doing good, SB. Looking forward to week five, of course. And yeah, we're getting through this quarter part of the season. So looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, it's crazy that we had week five already. I've been enjoying football so far, besides last week. But any other reason why I was, I've been on a good high team, been playing good. So I've been cool so far. How are you enjoying the season so far through 5 weeks?
I mean, as in a general sense, I've been enjoying it pretty well. Obviously, you know, as a Saints fan, it has not been the greatest season. But again, I came in this season with my expectations tempered for the Saints.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it's been an interesting season. I think, you know, again, we talked about this on Monday. I don't know if any team so far this season has separated themselves as the best in the NFL.
No.
And that's not a bad thing at all. So I do think that, you know, we are seeing, you know, some teams been some up and down, you know, yes, first part quarter of the season, which you kind of expect in some cases. But coming now in the second quarter of the season, I expect some teams to try to find their rhythm and try to find their flow, and particularly teams is getting some players back and hopefully, you know, getting healthy as they, you know, get ready to try to push towards a playoff berth.
Yeah, and the injury bug has definitely hit a lot of teams. We've just seen a lot of top-tier players go out. Some gruesome injuries, get well soon, Tyreek Hill. But I do agree with you from the point, like, no one team has stood out. And sometimes people don't realize that's the best thing that can happen to your league, having parity, where it's like you generally don't know who's going to win. We had high hopes for the Ravens. The Ravens looking a little iffy. The who knew that coming into the season, Justin Herbert and Baker Mayfield was going to be starting after the first couple of weeks, the two best quarterbacks in the league. Nobody could expect that. Then you got Michael Parsons getting traded. Then everybody thought the Packers was, after that trade, everybody thought the Packers was a guaranteed lock. They done got humbled the last 2 weeks. So it looks good. Then also, you know, the quarterback whisperer, Kyle Shanahan, proves his point that no matter who you put in that quarterback position besides Trey Lance, he can make them a good quarterback at least. And you see Mac Jones pretty good. But, Sean, let's go ahead and get through these picks of the week. We got a couple key games. How many key games are we looking for this week?
We have four key games this week.
Okay, four key games. All right, cool, four key games. Let's go ahead and go through the regular games first. What's first on the list, Sean?
First game of the week. Minnesota Vikings at the Cleveland Browns in London, Minnesota, 3.5-point favorite.
I know, and me and Sean were just talking about this before the show. The time of this game is at 8 a.m., and if you're on the West Coast, that's 6 a.m. I'm letting you know right now, fresh off work, I'll work tonight, and then I'm sleeping in. I'm not waking up at 8:30 to watch the Minnesota Vikings and the Browns. I'll probably wake up and catch it about halftime, and then that's it. So I might miss majority of this game, or at least the first half. But this game is very interesting. One, it's a travel game. Two, the addition of Dillon Gabriel in the lineup. Will he energize this Browns team like Jackson Dart did the Giants? You never know. Fresh face at the starting quarterback position does make a lot of difference and changes. Then the Vikings, they definitely got a couple injuries going on their team. I think this is going to come down to who can make the last play, or the defense just got to have a masterclass, and the defense just have to really control this game. I'm going to lean towards the Vikings because just to leave it up in the air with Dylan, I don't know what Dylan Gabriel is going to do. Because if he play bad, then they got to bring in back Sleepy Joe, and Sleepy Joe is not good for the Browns. So I'm going to just go with – because the defense, I think, is on an equal – it's equal playing field with the defense. Both good, great defenses, so I think they both going to make it hard. And then also, I don't know what this rookie is going to – how he's going to react to playing the defense like Minnesota. So I'm going to go with the team with the vet quarterback, and they're going to get some rookie with elite defense. I'm going to take Minnesota in this game. It's going to be a gritty game. I got Minnesota by possibly like 3.
This is going to be an interesting game to me. I think Minnesota's on upset alert. Obviously, we look at Cleveland and those two teams. We think Minnesota's the better team. Minnesota has quite a few injuries on the offensive line. That massively concerns me. Carson Wentz did not play especially great last week against Pittsburgh. You know he had a couple turnovers, one return for a touchdown. I think Minnesota's definitely on upset alert. I think Dylan Gabriel is going to give this Cleveland offense a spark, though. Two things about him. One, he gets the ball out of his hands. He's not going to hold the ball. That is probably the trademark thing about his game. And he's really accurate with the football. Mm-hmm. When you look at his, 60-plus starts in college, from UCF to Oklahoma to Oregon. I'm saying this affectionately. I know we kind of clown this guy. Think of Dylan Gabriel as kind of a left-handed Bo Nix. He's got a lot of experience, a lot of college starts. I don't think the moment's going to be too big for him. Mm-hmm. And he seems to be a guy who seems to kind of understand what he is. They got a really good running game, obviously, with Quashawn Judkins.
I like him.
Their offensive line, their tackles, again, are issues. But I think they're going to really kind of simplify what they're asking Dylan Gabriel to do. Give him one or two reads. If it's not there, take off. But the big thing is avoid the negative plays, because I think that's what ultimately got Joe Flacco was the negative plays. So for me, I think Cleveland's got a real chance to win this game. I think it's going to be a very tight game. But I'm with you. I'm going to take Minnesota. I'm going to take Minnesota by one in London over Cleveland. But I think it's going to be a very, very tight game.
Okay. Yeah, it's just too up in the air. Like, I don't know what I'm going to get from this quarterback. That's the only thing with me. It's too up in the air.
Sure, right? Yeah.
What's next?
Next game, Las Vegas Raiders at the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are 6.5-point favorites.
Yeah, and you already know it's always F the Raiders. The crazy part about it, Sean, as much as like a lot of people was hounding the Raiders, I think he was too. The Raiders have not really looked good this year so far. Only thing that really sparks out to me is that Ashton Jeanteen, I'm being honest with you, just it's really Ashton Jeanteen. And maybe that's the only, like, I personally like Ashton Jeanteen. It sucks to see him in a Raiders jersey, but yeah, besides that, I don't really like nothing about this Raiders team, and not even being like on my because of the Chargers thing. So I'm gonna take the Colts in this game. Is at home. I think the Colts will. I just can't pick the Raiders. I with this situation, I can see the Raiders possibly get the job done. But their defense could be impactful on Daniel Jones, because that's really where it's going to come from the Raiders. Geno and his offense, I really haven't really seen no spark, no else on the offensive side from this Raiders team, where I'm like, this is really something that can really build. Besides Ashton Jeanteen, and it really Ashton Jeanteen finally really started getting going last week. So I'm going to take the Colts in this one, in this situation. They are at home. I got the veteran of a quarterback. I haven't really seen the Raiders offense really get going where I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. So I'm going to take the Colts.
Yeah, this is an interesting game for me as well, SB. Obviously, we talk about a team that plays on the West Coast, traveling to play at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In Indianapolis, Colts coming off a very tough loss last week in LA against the Rams, probably a game they felt like they should have won, given, you know, what happened with Andy Mitchell, you know, not fumbling the football, you know, losing control of the football, going into the end zone. And obviously that was a key play in the game.
Yeah.
Vegas played a very close game last week against score-wise against the Bears. But the question is going to come down to Geno Smith. And Geno Smith, you know, has a live arm. We know this. Geno Smith has made some incredible throws in his career, but so far this season, Geno Smith with the turnovers has not been good.
No.
I don't think the seat is warm for Geno in Vegas. They really, I mean, what are they going to put in the picture? I would say not this year. I think again, you know, next year, you know, but you know, they've got to get some balance in that offense. I think it starts, obviously, as you mentioned, with Ashton Jeanty. Mm-hmm. Also, can they get Brock Bowers more involved in the pass game? He had, you know, he did hit some plays last week against the Bears. I know he's dealing with a knee injury. And so that's not helping much. I'm going to take the Colts, though, with you. I'm going to take the Colts at home. I think the Colts offense will just be too much for this Raiders defense. The Raiders, if they can figure out a way to slow down Jonathan Taylor, and I'm not sure they can, and try to make the Colts one-dimensional and try to make Daniel Jones feel like he has to do more, I think that leans more towards the Raiders. But I'm not sure their defense can do that. I'm almost certain their defense can't do that. So I'm with you. I'm taking the Colts at home by 3.
Now, Geno seat ain't high yet, but next year – but he did go to a new – well, I mean, can't even really say he went to a new system because he's with Pete Carroll, so he knows the system.
But it's Chip Kelly's system, and that's really, I think – well, we're not going to get to that. But either way.
I mean, I hope – you see they started – I'm presume they started to ignore Chip Kelly because Ashton just went back to his stand. So.
Well, you can't completely ignore Chip Kelly. He is the play caller and the offensive designer, so you can't completely ignore
him. You not going to get Ashton Jeanty the ball because he's standing up?
Well, no. I'm saying in terms of what they've installed. Geno can't do that. What they've installed is what they've installed. Mm-hmm. You know, so, again, it's the first time they've been together, Chip Kelly and Geno. Maybe they'll figure something out, but I think the big thing is, you know, again, run the football. It's not that hard. Run the dog on football. Get the play action game going. Their receivers don't really scare anyone, to be frank. So your best receiver is your tight end. You got to get him more involved in the game. I just want to see if they can do that. We'll see if it happens.
What's next?
Next game. New York Football Giants at the New Orleans Saints. Saints, 2.5-point favorites in this one.
The Saints are a favorite?
2.5-point -2.5.
Is this going to be the day, Sean? You pick the Saints. This is another test game for the quarterback, Jackson Dart. Obviously caught everybody by surprise with the energy that he brought to the table against my Chargers, and they got the win. The Giants looked more energized on the football field. Again, like they came to play, it was a different type of energy. Also, and I have been saying this all season so far, the Saints are not really trying to win games at this point in time of the season. But when a game like this comes on the board, I think your Saints will go for the win for this because they don't want to go 0-0. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to just be undefeated the whole season and like have a zero on it. So I think this is a game where I think your Saints will come to play. But from what I'm seeing from this Giants team so far, and I think this is going to be a big game for Cam Scataboo, the Hulk. I don't know what – I got to find a good nickname for that dude. That man, he a character, man. I'm going to pick the Giants in a close one. It's going to be hard for them to go down. Even with the Saints being bad, it's hard to go down there and win in that dome. I don't care what nobody says. When it's rocking, it's rocking. But I'm thinking you might lean towards your Saints. I think this is definitely a 50-50 game. So to go against it, I don't think you're gonna pick the Giants or the Saints. This is the chance for the Saints to actually get a win. So I'm gonna go Giants.
Yeah, the Giants obviously coming off a big win last week against the Chargers at home. very much probably an unexpected win for many of us outside. I don't know too many people who picked the Giants to win that game.
No.
The Giants last week ran the ball ran the football 42 times, only threw 21 pass attempts. Mm-hmm. No Malik Nabers for the rest of the season. I'm not sure the Giants can generate enough passing offense without Nabers. I think he was just so – I mean, I'm not going to say he was the most important wide receiver in the league, but the drop-off between Nabers and the rest of those guys is palatable, and that's no slight to Wandale Robinson or Darius Slayton. Those guys are decent players, but, you know, they're not Malik Nabers.
No, they're not.
Jackson Dart making his second start. Obviously, the big key with Jackson Dart is he used his legs last week as well. He was a part of those 42 rushing attempts. You mentioned Cam Scatterbow. Cam Scatterbow, I think, will factor very much into this game. Mm-hmm. The Giants front seven, I think, will factor very much into this game. I think it's a very close game. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the Saints.
I would say this is the one time of the week when you can actually take the Saints and they can win.
I'm going to take the Saints, obviously. I feel like this is a very winnable game for the Saints, but I think it's going to be a very ugly game, and that's the only way the Saints can really win this game. Mm-hmm. You know, Spencer Rattler has never won a game as a starter in the NFL.
How many starts he got so far?
I think this would be his 11th start, if I'm not mistaken.
God.
Yeah. So I think this is – when Spencer Rattler gets his first win as an NFL start. I know it's not, you know, I don't judge quarterback wins as a stat, but obviously, you know,
because 0-11, jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So that said, I'm taking the Saints by 2 in New Orleans.
And that'll be a crazy, like, what if, like, Spencer Rattler, like, become, like, one of, like, a good quarterback league, great quarterback, and then that'll be a good start off story of documentary. Like, I started 0-11 in my career. And then became a Hall of Famer. It'll look like it, but it'll be possible. What's next?
Next game, Dallas Cowboys at the New York Jets. The Dallas Cowboys are 1.5-point favorites.
1.5-point favorite. That's literally off the bat of how bad their defense is. This is the game that'll keep your eye on Justin Fields and the run team for the Jets. And it's at home. Did Eric Lee get his first win yet? No, not yet.
No, he did not.
This could be the one of the games on the list where he could possibly get his first win at home because Cowboys defense is awful. So now it's pretty much, can Dak Prescott outscore this Jets team against Aaron Glenn's defense? Or can the Jets control the game and control the pace of the game, control the possessions of the game and not give Dak too many chances to put the ball in the end zone? Because the Cowboys defense is not going to give you nothing, especially with a team that's running the ball. Oh, yeah, it's GG's in the chat. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to take the Jets at home. Aaron Glenn gets his first win against the Cowboys. The Cowboys had their Super Bowl league already against Micah Parsons and the Packers, they done for the season. You ain't getting nothing else for the Cowboys. But with their offensive run game with Justin Fields, I see them getting their first win against the Dallas Cowboys.
So no Breon Allen for the Jets. He's out maybe even for the season. I know he's got a very serious knee injury.
Yeah.
Cowboys have some issues on the offensive line. They're very beat up on the offensive line. I think this is a game. Can Quinnen Williams be what we know Quinnen Williams to be, which is one of the better pass rushing and defensive tackles in the NFL? That's what I'm going to be watching for. Can he take advantage of a beat-up Cowboys offensive line? The biggest issue with the Jets this season has been they could very easily be a team that's 2-2 or 3-1. They've been in some very close games, but two things that have hurt them. One, obviously, penalties at the most inopportune time.
Yeah.
Not being able to get off the field on third down because of a holding penalty or just something silly. And then, obviously, the turnovers. you know, the turnovers. They've got to take better care of the football. This is the game to me, right, for Justin Fields to go off. We know that Dallas defense is not very good. This game is going to come down to, can the Jets defense manufacture enough stops? And by stops, I mean, can they hold the Cowboys to three and not seven? Because, again, if the Cowboys are within 65 yards, Brandon Aubrey's coming out. So the stops for me will be, can you stop them from getting seven and hold them to three? I think the Jets are angry. I think the Jets are fired up. You mentioned the Cowboys. A lot of emotion last Sunday night with what went on. You know, that was their Super Bowl. I think the Jets do win this game. I'm with you. I'm taking the Jets at home by one.
Gonna get his first win.
Garen Glenn gets his first win.
What's next?
Next game, Miami Dolphins at the Carolina Panthers. Miami, 1.5-point favorites in this one.
With this Miami Dolphins team, I have not been impressed with this team at all. Yeah, they won against the Jets last week. That was the Tyreek Hill injury game. Wasn't impressed with the win at all. I told you I was just watching the Panthers. I was just like, enjoy watching this young Panthers team as they grow at home in Carolina. I'm taking the Panthers to beat the Dolphins. Upset, I guess. Would it be considered an upset? Because how bad is it?
Yeah, 1.5 points really is. Yeah, like, yeah, I wouldn't go too crazy over that.
And then the Dolphins come, they play what, Monday too? So yeah, one less day.
They play Monday night, yeah.
Yeah, so that kind of count too. But yeah, I'm gonna go with the Panthers.
Two things about this game really intrigued me. One, no Chuba Hubbard for Carolina. It means Rico Dowdell will get the majority of probably the work in the backfield. Carolina has played far more competitive at home than they do on the road. This game is at, this game is in Charlotte. No Tyreek Hill, obviously gone for the season and maybe even into next season potentially, which I think mean all eyes will be on Jalen Waddle. But Darren Waller, I think, factors into this game as well. He emerged last Monday night in the game as well. How much can he offer? Obviously, Devon Achane and Ollie Gordon will probably factor into this game as well. The last time Carolina played at home, I picked them to lose. They won 30-0. I'm not going to do that again. I'm actually going to take them at home in this game, but I'm gonna take them in a close one. I'm taking Carolina at home by one.
I'm just done trusting the Dolphins. That's all it is. I can't do it. Tua, my fantasy quarterback, I benched him on in fantasy. So that's it. Yeah, I feel it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. What's next?
Next game. This would normally be a key matchup. Under normal circumstances, this would normally be a key matchup, but it is not this week. Houston Texans at the Baltimore Ravens. Texans, 1.5-point favorites. And this one, of course, no Lamar Jackson this week, among others, for the Ravens. So,
it was no Lamar Jackson, and this was for all the Ravens fans. And I want to say Ravens fans, you watch the video. I seen y'all videos on TikTok. I seen some of y'all comments and complaining during the time talking about Lamar faked the injury. Ha-ha, he did not. He was actually injured. That's why he's worried about his stats. It was crazy, Sean. I was like, bro, these are Ravens fans saying this. I'm like, yeah, Lamar quit. Do you not know who y'all quarterback is? You better support your quarterback. Because a lot of people wish they would have. But yeah, Ravens fans are crashing out. But no Lamar Jackson does throw a monkey wrench in this situation. Now that it makes it a 50-50 game. Now, because obviously still the same concerns with the Texans O-line. Can CJ Stroud actually get it going? And then he on podium talking about he ain't as young, he ain't as fast, as young as he used to be. Man, stop talking like you old, man. You ain't even pushing 30. Even 23? Talk about I'm feeling old. No, you're not old yet, CJ Stroud. Don't do that. This game will come down to will the Ravens defense actually look as good as the Ravens defense supposed to be? They were compared to what we thought how good they supposed to be, they have been subpar with what we thought this defense was going to be. And then the Texas offensive line has been terrible. They have not been protecting C.J. Stroud. That's really what it's going to come down to. Can the Baltimore – is Derrick Henry – Derrick Henry going to have to impact this game with the backup being in, where he is going to have to be the guy. A lot of people question that because the fumbles, he has not looked as good, start looking like his age. And then with the Texans, can the Texas defense really win this game? That's what it's going to come down to, because I still don't trust – the Texas offensive line to protect C.J. Stroud enough to operate. But I do think they can protect them enough to score enough points to win in Baltimore with no Lamar Jackson. I'm going to take the Texans for the upset. Not liking it, but because of how they look. But I'm in an ugly game, too.
This game, again, would normally be a key matchup. I don't want to talk about it as a key matchup because, obviously, no Lamar. Mm-hmm. The Ravens' injuries are numerous.
Yep.
I mean, they are the walking wounded right now. Yep. No Marlon Humphrey tomorrow. I don't believe Roquan Smith is going to play tomorrow as well. Mm-hmm. Not sure if Ronnie Stanley is going to play tomorrow. It's going to be a very, very tough ask for the Ravens to pull a win. Side note, Ravens lost one of their great players in their history, Arthur Jones, the brother of John Jones, yesterday. So, you know, rest in peace and prayers to the Jones family for him. You know, that aside, Houston's coming off of their first win of the season, a shutout against the Titans last week at home.
Yep.
Woody Marks, they found something in the running game with Woody Marks. I expect him to be a factor in the game tomorrow. Ravens are getting Keaton Mitchell back. Keaton Mitchell's their speed option out of the backfield. I think he's probably going to factor into the game plan somehow, some way as well. This is going to be a tough ask, though, for this Ravens team. Defensively, I'm just not sure they're good enough to take advantage of the Texans' deficiencies offensively. I'm with you. I'm going to take the Texans in Baltimore. I don't think it's an upset just because I think the Texans are the healthier team. And the Texans defense, just to remind people, they have given up 51 points through 4 weeks.
That's pretty good.
51 points. They're giving up less than 13 points a game through 4 weeks. Now, again, consider the opponents. But that said, that defense is playing really good football right now. And until the offense finds their way, particularly up front, and them figuring out the weapons outside of Schultz and Nico Collins, I think the defense is – they're going to lean heavily on their defense. I'm taking the Texans in Baltimore by 3.
Ooh.
Next game, late afternoon game, Tennessee Titans at the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals 7.5-point favorites.
The Titans have not got their first win yet. And I ain't gonna we only gotta harp on this with this long. And Cam Ward said his best. We are playing like boo-boo. And I think it will still stay the same on this situation, Sean, at Arizona at home. I'm taking the Cardinals. I'm not even overthinking it. And then after your pick, I have a genuine question about this Titans team. But I want to hear your pick. But I'm not overthinking it. The Titans don't look good. I'm going to just take the Cardinals and we can move on.
Yeah, the Cardinals are coming off of – they played on Thursday Night Football last week, coming off a really tough loss against Seattle, a game they had a chance to at least tie and push to overtime. The new kickoff rules, which have been in effect since last season, actually came back to bite them because the ball has to land in a certain landing zone. The kicker – did not get the ball in the landing zone. And so the Seahawks got an advantageous field advantage because of that. I do think Tennessee is going to try to play fired up. They got embarrassed last week in Houston, getting shut out. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure it's going to matter. I think Arizona defensively is going to be continue to be a bit of a problem. Mm-hmm. The Titans just don't have a lot of talent outside of Cam Ward. And And while Cam Ward has shown flashes of why he was the number one pick and why people were so excited about him, it's not going to be enough. And their defense, I think, will try to do some things against that Cardinals offense, particularly if the Cardinals can't figure out how to run the football more effectively.
Yeah.
No James Conner. Obviously, he's gone. Trey Benson and Michael Carter, I think, could factor in a little bit more in this game as well. In terms of the run game, I do wonder if they're able to get a little more balance. We did see last week, particularly in the second half, the emergence of Marvin Harrison Jr. Yep. I think that continues this week as well. I'm taking the Cardinals at home over the Tennessee Titans by 9.
All right, my question about this Titans team, too, now, because I thought about the other thing, I meant to send it to you. I seen, like, I don't think it was like a Titans reporter or a Titans radio, but it was like a clip. It was like, yeah, everybody was going at Will Levis, but if you compare the numbers side by side, their numbers and Cam Ward the same, but you just don't hear nothing because he's number one pick. And I'm like, I mean, okay, the numbers are the same, but the talent is bad. But, like, did you not, like, see Will Levis, like, play, or was he – well, the numbers is Cam Ward getting the pass because he's number one pick, Sean?
No, I don't think it's that at all. I think people, if you watch the game, the games are very clear that the Titans just don't have a lot of talent. I thought the Titans probably should have stole that game in Denver week one. And there was some game management issues, but also just that Denver defense is just tough to beat, you know, especially at home. But it's just not a very talented football team, and they know it. They just don't have a lot of talent.
I think they're tanking away this year, too, to ask more talent.
I mean, I don't know if they're tanking. I think they thought they would be far more competitive. And then certainly the other issue, Calvin Ridley, their number one receiver, is dealing with an injury.
Right.
He only played a limited number of snaps last week because he's dealing with an injury. Brian Callahan came out and last week. So, you know, I think that factors in as well. This team is this team going to go winless throughout the season? I don't think so. I think they're going to get a couple of wins, but it's just not a talented team. I was higher on them coming into this season when I looked at kind of their defense, and I thought their offensive line would play better. Their offensive line has not played great at all. So I think they're going to be, you know, considering upgrading that. And again, we'll talk about that at a later time. But to me, the issue is it's not Cam Ward not out there trying. It's just he doesn't have a lot around him. And it's really hard for all the praise we like to give rookie quarterbacks and things of that nature. And we tend to probably praise them a little too soon.
Too soon, yeah.
A lot of times is what's around them, what's with them that we know. We can say, we can lean on this. And I use Jaden Daniels. I know we'll talk about him in a moment as an example. For all the praise about Jaden Daniels, to me, Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury were key.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn being a steadying force and a proven NFL head coach, Cliff Kingsbury being a play designer who could design a system and would design a system around what Jaden Daniels does well, but also what they want to do offensively. That matters. Jaden Daniels, the talent is undeniable, but what's around him matters as much. And that's why they went, I think, on the run they went last year because of all of those factors. That's not Cam Ward's situation. I think we got to just be careful not to put heap too much expectation on these guys, given the situation. The situation always matters, whether we like to admit it or not.
Now, look, the second question, I know we got to move on because we got to do the rest of these picks. Say if they lose a game to the Cardinals. Looking at their schedule, I'm going to go down team names and just tell me if they have a legit chance to win. I'm trying to see when their first win going to come. All right, so they lose this week against Cardinals. Raiders? Or that's a loss?
I think they got a legit chance to win that game.
Okay. Patriots?
I think they have a legit chance to win that game.
Okay. Colts?
No.
Chargers?
No.
Last one, then we ain't got to go down the whole list. Texans?
No.
Okay, so the next two is probably their best chance to win it, because then after that, Seahawks, Jaguars, Browns, 49ers, Chiefs, Saints. And I'm like, I don't know. And then they end the season against the Jaguars. I was like, oh, no, I see what they next win coming. But, okay, what's next?
Next game. Detroit Lions at the Cincinnati Bengals. Detroit is 9.5-point favorites in this one.
BTA? I don't like this one. It's not like it's nothing too much to talk about. I'll be like, if it was a key game, Joe Barrow's here, I gotta go, boy. Devin be like, yeah, this and that. Offense looks horrible right now. No Joe Barrow, and their defense is terrible. And they're gonna play against one of the most high powered offensive scoring teams. I'm honestly surprised not a double digit favorite, but BTA, Sean, I'm picking the Lions. I don't have nothing else to tell you.
Yeah, I'm with you, SB. This is the easy one for me. I'm taking the Lions. We don't even need to discuss it. It's Lions by 13. And that's me being nice.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to say, I can't even convince myself to lie and say something where the Bengals got a chance in this game. It's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, is it going to rain in
Cincinnati?
I don't know.
Jared Goff better eat some Skyline chili and have a diarrhea. He can't play. That's the only chance they got in this game. Sonic and Knuckles better eat some Skyline chili, and one of them got to be out the game, because if not, it's over with. So,
yeah.
Probably be over by in the first half.
You might very well be right.
Cool. On to the next. What's next?
Last game before our key matchups. Sunday Night Football, New England Patriots at the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo, 8.5-point favorites in this one.
Now, looking at this game, because it's in Buffalo, you would think it'd be an easy game, but I do have to give the Patriots a little credit. They have been playing solid this year. It's not like a walkover. They're not going to be a walkover team, but I still think the Bills still have their number. I do think with them being division rivals, the Patriots will play better this game. But with the Bills at home, I'm going to take the Bills. I do think both the Patriots defense will kind of make it a little tough, but then the next question would be, can the Patriots offense score enough to keep up with Josh Allen and the boys at home? Because they will score. They will put up the points. And then I want to see how the Patriots are going to attack that Bills defense. But my football man telling me to take the Bills. So I'm going to go with Bills in a close one, probably by like 7. Bills by 7.
This is interesting. It doesn't feel like Buffalo's played a home or an away game yet so far this season. I feel like they've been at home a lot so far this season.
Second half of the season is going to be tough for them, Dan. Let me check. I'm going to look at their schedule. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's a home game for Buffalo. Obviously, when you talk about a divisional matchup, SB, you know, nobody knows you better than your divisional opponents. Mm-hmm. I would like to say I think very much Buffalo should be on upset alert. I do think they should be on upset alert.
Yeah.
The question is, for me, is can New England's offense score enough? They did show some flashes last week, mm-hmm. albeit against Carolina, that they've got some creativity. They've got some things they want to do. Just to clarify, you know, Buffalo has played 4 of their first 5 games at home, and they haven't left the state of New York yet because they played at the Jet. Or excuse me, they left. Well, they left.
So they've pretty much been at home the whole time.
They've been at home. They played at – it was in New Jersey, but they played at Jets week 2.
I'm just saying, though, NFL's favorite quarterback. Yeah, a very favorable start of the season. Schedule was crazy.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah. We don't listen. Know. I mean, hey, you know, listen.
I don't know. First 5 weeks, you delete a crib?
Yeah. No, I mean, listen. Hey. Everybody can't do it. But no, in all seriousness, no. I mean, it was Buffalo's got out to a really good start. This season, I think most people would say they're probably the favorites for the 1 seed in the AFC thus far. No argument there. But this could be very much a trap game. New England, Mike Vrabel's going to have those guys ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
And the big key, again, for me is can New England's offense generate enough points? Buffalo's defense is not what we once considered to be. It's okay, but it's not great.
All right.
I'm with you. I'm going to take Buffalo at home as well, but I'm going to take Buffalo on a close one. I think Buffalo wins by two.
How many games we picked different so far?
We have picked one game differently so far.
I told you. It's going to be a lot of – maybe these key games might switch it up.
Key matchups, so let's see what happens when we get to these key matchups.
All right. Key games of the week. Sean, what we got? How many key games we got?
We have four key games. You're going to drop the
Let's see how it looks. Work in progress. It's a work group. Don't worry. The next thing you're going to see will be better. But it's time for the key games of the week. Touchdown! ESB and Sean, key games of the week. How many we got?
We have four key matchups this week, SB. Four key matchups.
Okay.
First key matchup, early games, Sunday, Denver Broncos at the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia, 4.5-point favorites at home.
This is with this key game, Sean. I think the better defense will win this game, 100%. Eagles do got the little advantage at home. My only concern, and I'm being honest, my only concern with the A.J. Brown controversy that's going on, will the Eagles come out and try to force A.J. Brown the ball? I think this will be a disaster player to do against the defense. Now, if you're playing somebody like Giants, Cowboys, the Saints, no straight sense to you. I'm sorry about that. The Titans, force. This is not the team to do that against. This is not the defense to do it against. This defense will make you pay if you try to do that. And then also, will the Eagles, I'm just saying, had a massive, or Jalen Hurts had a leadership, just be like, hey, look, we're going to do what we got to do to win. But my main concern is the play call, offensive play call with the Eagles. This offense has not looked like a championship caliber offense. Defense still solid. They're going to do their thing. Broncos, you know, one of the best defense in the league. I hate praising them because they're division rivals, but I'm about to be honest. Bo Nix and the offense still solid. Will the Eagles defense make it hard for Bo Nix? I'm going to pick the Eagles, one, because I want to see a division rival lose. But two, I also think that the Eagles will stand firm and still do what they got to do to win. They won't change. They won't force feed and all that. A.J. Brown is going to have to boo-hoo about it. He'll be all right later because this ain't the team to do that against. I'm going to take the Eagles in a close one. Probably went by like a touchdown or maybe a Philly. No pun intended on the Philly. But yeah, this would be probably a close one, but I'm going to take Philly to get the job done again.
So the Eagles have yet to put together a complete game offensively where you said, okay, the Eagles look like the Eagles we know of last year. Mm-hmm. Big part of the issue. They're not running the football the same. I know a lot of people say they have 10 of the same 11 guys from their offense last year. Obviously, Mekhi Becton, their right guard from last year, is gone. He's with the Chargers now. Mm-hmm. Tyler Steen is in. I thought Mekhi Becton was kind of an unsung hero last year for them on the offensive line. He was so dominant and showed why, again, Jeff Stoutland and that offensive line coaching matters and is important. And obviously, he was able to cash in and get himself a pretty decent payday with the Chargers. But also, they're dealing with some injuries. Landon Dickerson, their Pro Bowl, All-Pro left guard, he's hurt. He's been hurt really since the preseason. Mm-hmm. He does not look the same as well. Lane Johnson's gone out, in a couple of games here and there. They're just not the same, quite the same offensive line. I think it starts there. But you mentioned the play call and Kevin Petullo. I'm not sure how patient people are going to be with Kevin Petullo, given that he took over an offense, play calling for an offense that won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They have got to, I think, one, be just a little more creative in terms of some of their play designs, but also some of their play calling. No team runs the football more on first down than the Philadelphia Eagles.
You know the run coming.
If you know the run is coming, and we understand you have Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is one of the best backs in the NFL, if not the best back in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You get it. you want him to be a massive part of the game. But I think they have to open it up early, use the pass to set up the run, get the quick pass game going. You mentioned A.J. Brown. I don't think A.J. Brown is going to be a problem. I think it's going to be, can this offense open up a little bit more early? Pass the football on first down early. Denver's going to look at that game last week, watch that film from last week's game, I think, and look at the second half and see what the Bucs were able to do in the second half against that offense. But I don't think they can come in and say, we're just going to mirror that, because I expect the Eagles to make some adjustments and to open up a little early. You mentioned Bo Nix. Bo Nix has not been great, you know, as heck as he was last season, this season. He's been okay. He's been solid. But let's be very clear, that team in Denver goes through that defense first and foremost. It is not about Bo Nix and the offense. It's about that defense. I think the defense is going to be very aggressive. They're going to attack. They are going to play a lot of man, I believe, against A.J. and against Devontae Smith. The key in this game for me is Dallas Goedert. When Goddard gets involved, the Eagles are usually pretty unstoppable. You got to get Dallas Goedert involved. And also those two slot receivers in Jahan Dotson and John Metchie. You want to say something?
No. I was agreeing with you. Yeah.
So can they get those guys involved just to make that Denver defense play a little less aggressive? You know, because again, I think they want to come after you. That's the nature of the beast. Philly defensively, I think, will play really solid football. Again, I'm not overly – Courtland Sutton's a really good receiver, but I'm not really overly scared of what they're going to do. If I'm Philly, I want to stop the run. We know Sean Payton wants to run the football. You got to stop the run. So can you slow down J.K. Dobbins? Can you slow down R.J. Harvey enough to make Denver one-dimensional? Bo Nix is going to give you a couple chances. Can you take advantage of those chances? I think Philly does. I'm with you. I'm taking Philly at home by 6. I think the offense will look a little better to start the game, but can they put together the complete game? That's what many will be watching. We'll see if they do it tomorrow.
Oh, what's next?
Next key matchup, late afternoon game. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are 3.5-point favorites in this one. Battle of the throwback uniforms in this one, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen, they won. I know the Buccaneers are wearing the cream ones and then
the white, the all white cream. Yeah, and the Seahawks are wearing their original, the Seahawk blue.
Oh, the original Seahawks? Oh, yeah. Watch this game. This game. You know, I've been very high on the Buccaneers. This game scares me because Seattle was at home. And Seattle is not usually play well at home. The Buccaneers had a game last week where they started off slow. And then that second half, they turned it up and was a way better team, offense and defense-wise. You had Jalen Hurts go 0-for-8. And then you had Baker Mayfield make a couple plays then during that time, but I'm going to take the Buccaneers in this game before I kill my dog.
You're taking the Buccaneers?
Yes, I'm going to take the Buccaneers.
Okay.
This game. I couldn't really get the rest of my statement up, but go ahead. I want to hear what you said, Sean.
No worries. No Bucky Irvin for the Bucs in this game, which means Rashad White will get the majority of the touches more than likely. I think Sean Tucker will factor into this game for the Buccaneers as well. No Mike Evans as well.
Emeka might not get his 1,000. Sean might not get the 1,000 this season.
Hey, maybe it made the streak million this year. We'll see what happens.
He gonna find a way to get that 1,000.
Happens to me. This game comes down to, again, I think both defenses are going to play with a certain level of aggression.
Yeah,
they're gonna try to force these quarterbacks into turnovers. Sam Darnold, I think, has been a little more risk averse so far this season than Baker Mayfield. The 12s are going to be loud. It's going to be loud. the question for me, the Bucks like to do, you know, a lot of motions, a lot of different things in their offense. I think they're going to be in silent count quite a bit just because of the noise in Seattle. Yeah. Then Seattle defense has actually played really good football as well to start the season. They are, again, they have a defensive head coach in Mike McDonald. We expect it to be a good defense. Offensively, though, the Bucks want to take away. I think they're going to try to take away Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet in that run game, try to make that offense one-dimensional. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, watch out for rookie Torrey Horton. He fell in the draft, and I don't know why he fell in the draft, I think, but he's showing why he was so good at Colorado State. I think he shines in this game. And then special teams factor into this game as well. The Bucks kicking game and special teams has been, you know, not great. Caleb McGoffin has not been great this season. Jason Myers has been really, really solid, even though he did miss one last week in Arizona. This game, though, I think is a close game. I'm going with the home team, though. I'm taking Seattle at home. I just think the noise, all those different factors. Seattle coming off of a long break because they did play last Thursday night. They've had some time to prepare for this game. I'm taking the Seahawks at home by 4.
Seahawks. Okay. It's 2. We got 2 on the board there for so far. All right.
2 more to go. Next key matchup. Washington Commanders at the LA Chargers. The Chargers are 2.5-point favorites in this one.
Definitely going to be a close game. Jaden Daniels will be back first game back, but I don't really expect too much from Jaden Daniels off the first game back. This Chargers defense and I would say offense too just got slapped in the face by the Giants, so I think we will be more prepared to play this game against this Washington Commanders team. I'm going to pick, of course, my Chargers, getting it done at home, getting a bounce back win against the Washington Commanders after coming off a tough loss. I do think we need to get at the quarterback with Jaden Daniels. And also, I would love to see the run game get going a little bit more. And then shout out Quentin Johnston. This has been a whole 360 turnaround with him. I'm always going to praise him for him doing good because how bad I was getting on the last couple of years, calling them nub hands and all that. But shout out QJ. QJ actually been looking elite. I can see this Charger team attacking this Commanders team in a whole bunch of different aspects of ways. But I do think for us to win this game, we have to get at the quarterback. We have to get a Jaden Daniels returning off injury, get at the quarterback early, make him feel the aggression of the defense, and then trust Justin Herbert to put the ball in the bread basket to take us home. So I'm taking the Chargers by a touchdown, possibly 10, a touchdown and a field goal. But I think we should get the job done here.
Yeah, obviously, you mentioned the return of Jaden Daniels. No Terry McLaurin this week. He didn't even travel out to L.A. with the team. The Commanders have been out there early. They normally, most teams travel the day before the game. They've been out there since, you know, Friday morning. I think that's very telling. They, not that they're worried, because, again, worry is not the right word. I think they are just doing everything they can to prepare to play, you know, on the West Coast as an East Coast team as much as possible. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Omarion Hampton. He's starting to really look like a real part, integral part of the Chargers. Mm-hmm. That Washington defense allows over 100 rushing yards per game. If you saw them last week against the Atlanta Falcons, Bijan Robinson, Michael Penix Jr. Mm-hmm. pretty much had their way last week against Washington at home. If Jaden Daniels had been playing, if this were not his first game back after being out a couple weeks, I probably would give Washington a better chance in this game. Mm-hmm. But that Washington defense, coupled with the fact that Jaden Daniels is just coming back, I think Jaden Daniels obviously makes them far more competitive, not taking that away from him. But, and also, I don't want to discount the red flags we saw for the Chargers last week in New York.
Yeah,
but I think the Chargers will get it fixed this week. I'm just going with the more trustworthy team. I'm taking the Chargers at home by 3.
Yeah, we're gonna bounce back. we should be coming in this week 4-0, going on 5-0. But you know, we
want. I mean, it's over. You got to move on. You got
to
move on.
Yeah, man. I just wanted to be undefeated, man. Just wanted to be.
Yeah, listen, the key is to go undefeated in the playoffs, not in the regular season.
That's
the Patriots. Next key matchup. Monday Night Football, Kansas City Chiefs at the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Kansas City Chiefs, 3.5-point favorites in this one.
This is a 50-50 game, and people want to admit it because the Chiefs have glaring problems. Chiefs have not looked the same. Offensive line, defense ain't really. Look, the receiver play has been really iffy. It really has been like Mahomes a bust so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguars, they still like Forrest Gump. If you know Forrest Gump, you've never seen it. He said, life likes a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get with the Jaguar team. Sometimes Jaguar team like, oh, man, okay, this thing can be pretty good. Then you look at it like, oh, okay, this team pretty bad. So it's like you don't know what Jaguar team you're going to get off the week. I know their record say 3-1. They don't really feel like a 3-1 team to me, Sean, and there's no slouch or no hate to them. They not – like the Chiefs are 2-2. They don't feel like a 2-2 team. And I mean the opposite way. Like, I feel like the Chiefs record, they playing like the record could be worse. But coming into this game, we got Mahomes, who always, at the end of the day, if Mahomes on the field, you always have a chance to win. Does that impact the Jaguars enough to where they don't come to play? Like, is the aura presence of Patrick Mahomes that much of a problem they will lose? Because the two wins that they got was C.J. Stroud with offensive line was bad, and then the 49ers in the backup. The loss they had was against Joe Burrow with a team with no defense, but the presence of Joe Burrow overbearing this team. And then when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, can somebody else actually do something besides Patrick Mahomes? Can somebody else step up to the plate besides Patrick Mahomes to lead them to the next, to the W? I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to go with the upset because I figure you might pick the Chiefs anyway. So we can have three games. I could be wrong. I'm going to go for the upset, take the Jacksonville Jaguars to win. Also to see a division rival lose too. So I'm going to take the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm not happy about this pick, but we're going to go Jacksonville.
This is a very interesting game. SB, just for a quick trivia question, do you know which team leads the league in takeaways so far this season?
And it's between one of these two teams?
Mm-hmm.
The Jaguars?
The Jaguars lead the league in takeaways so far this season. But they're only the 15th ranked defense. So it's a little bit of they've had some things go their way. And again, 3-1 is 3-1. At the end of the day, you're happy to be 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still trying to find their rhythm on offense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure this is the best game to do that against the Kansas City Chiefs team that the last 2 weeks has, you know, found a way to play a little bit better. Getting Xavier Worthy back last week, you can tell, was a big boost to that offense because, again, you have someone who could take the top off. You have someone you can get the ball just in the quick game who can make some things happen. You can use them in different, you know, formations, jet sweeps, things of that nature. That was a big boost to the Kansas City offense last week. Kansas City defense has not been great, but they've played well enough in some moments that I think show that, again, like Steve Spagnuolo will always do, they're never going to – I don't think they're ever going to hit their stride until November, December anyway.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence and that Jacksonville offense, though, can they find some rhythm? They have not been a very good rhythm offense so far. I know some of it is new system, obviously, with Liam Cohen, new play caller, still trying to figure some things out. I think Kansas City wins this game in Jacksonville on Monday Night Football. I think it's a competitive game. I think, again, Jacksonville wants to put the country on notice on Monday Night Football that they are for real. But I don't think it's going to go well for the Monday night. I'm taking Kansas City and Jacksonville by 6.
And see, we got three games. We got with the Giants and the Saints.
Tampa Bay, Seattle,
and the Chiefs. Jaguars. All right, we're going to see Jaguars come through, man. And then, or at least just let the Giants and the Buccaneers come through. Then I'll be all right. But, okay, we got a couple. Last thing before we get up out of here, we got fantasy picks with Sean and Parlay Time with SB. Sean, we're going to fantasy picks with you. What you got for the fantasy picks?
So, fantasy picks this week, quarterback, going to seem a little funny. If I have Justin Fields, I'm playing Justin Fields this week. They're playing the Cowboys defense. Nothing else needs to be said. Yeah. running back, I'm taking Cam Scatterbo against the Saints. Saints give up 119 yards rushing per game. He was a big factor last week. I expect him to factor in even more this week, particularly without Malik Nabers. Look for Scatterbo to be, you know, to pick up not just rushing yards, but also be involved in the pass game as well. Cam Scatterbo, New York Giants, again this week. At wide receiver, Jameson Williams from the Detroit Lions. They're playing Cincinnati. His depth of target this year is 21 yards. That's second in the NFL. They're playing the Cincinnati Bengals, y'all. So he's due for a boom game. I think he gets it this week in Cincinnati. Jameson Williams from the Detroit Lions, my wide receiver fantasy pick of the week. My tight end pick of the week is Dalton Kincaid from Buffalo. The Patriots allow the ninth most fantasy points to tight ends so far this season. Dalton Kincaid will factor in Sunday Night Football. Take Dalton Kincaid if you have him. And defensively, Arizona Cardinals. They're playing the Titans. Titans are coming off a shutout loss last week in Houston. Arizona's been off for 10 days. They're going to be ready. They're going to be right. Mm-hmm. If you have Arizona's defense, this is a good week to start them against a struggling, very much a struggling Tennessee offense. Take Arizona's defense this week. And those are my fantasy picks of the week.
All right. Parlay time with SB China if you want some money. Bet the run this week. This is a run-heavy week from what I've been seeing. So if I was, you know, I prefer touchdowns over anything. I always do the touchdown part of where we are. So if I had to pick people that's going to get a touchdown this week, Justin Fields, for sure. This might be a guarantee for Justin Fields to get a touchdown. He might get two. So I go Justin Fields. Cam Scatterbo with going against that Saints team. If they're going to score, Jackson Dart is an iffy one for me, but I'd rather go Cam for a touchdown. Also, Sonic and Knuckles of the Lions, they are playing the Bengals. You might throw a receiver in there, but the guarantee is probably going to be Gibbs and Montgomery. They might get it in the first half, to be honest with you. That'll be next. And then for my fifth guy, my Chargers, I got Amari Hampton getting in that end zone, and that is my parlay time with SB for me this week. Bet the run this week. A lot of teams that are going against each other, some teams, though, are actually pretty good against the run, so I will definitely bet the run this week. That has been Parlay Time. That's been SB and Sean NFL Picks of the Week. Sean, we're going to see where we go because we're 2-2 now. So this breaks the tie for this week. And we will see you guys on the next one. Peace out.
Real takes over fake debates.